Did you know that about 85% of people experience acne during their lifetime and approximately 5% suffer with severe acne? Acne is one of the top three main concerns we see in beauty salons, clinics, and spas. As you probably know, acne is a big deal for young men and women. It can take over their confidence and affect their emotional well-being. This is particularly critical around the ages of 12 to 18, when both genders are already going through hormonal changes. The cases of adult acne are also on the rise, especially among women in their early 20s to late 30s. I have seen women in their 40s develop acne with no previous history of acne. So what's causing this to happen? Acne is not only a skin condition, but also a mental health condition for many people. Imagine the emotional toll acne can take on you if you feel you have tried everything to get rid of it. I know my daughter's experience with acne was not only physically challenging, but emotionally as well. It's time to finally have a conversation about adult acne, break down the myth that it only happens to teenagers, and share some amazing skincare recommendations with you. I am very happy to welcome back Olivia Elston to talk about her acne journey, the struggles she faced, and her experience living with acne. This is a very common condition. However, with respect to mental health, people don't often discuss it openly. In this episode, Olivia talks about the different kinds of acne she has had over the years. She also shares with us how she has managed her acne and the struggles she faced along the way. I hope you get a lot out of this conversation and take something away that can help you move forward if you have been struggling with acne and your own skin problems. Welcome to the Skincare Teacher Beauty Tip Show, brought to you by skincareschoolonline.com. In this show, you will discover skincare and beauty tips that absolutely work. I'm Jana Elston, a qualified beauty therapist, skincare educator, and blogger. And in this show, I will share my expert insights into the best beauty treatments that will transform your skin. Tune in each week to learn about how to look after your skin and manage skin conditions, including a sensitized skin, acne, aging, or pigmentation. Welcome back, everybody. Today, I welcome back Olivia, my guest. She's my daughter. She has gone through quite a journey that we're going to talk about. She's going to share with you her struggles, her wins, and basically what it is like to live with acne. Welcome back, Olivia.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming back and talking and being vulnerable and sharing what you have gone through with acne. And of course, me being a mum, I'll put in my thoughts as well about what it's like having a child go through acne. Mm-hmm. And then from the perspective as a beauty therapist as well, my struggles in trying to help you but we're here to talk about you. So I'd like our listeners to have a bit of a understanding about what it is really like to have acne and to live with acne. So why don't you tell our listeners about your journey, your acne journey?
Yeah, of course. Well, I have to say, I know you mentioned it's been about 5 or 6 years, but I would argue and say it's actually been nearly 10 years. I've only just turned 20. And I started noticing my body changing when I was around 10. I got my period, and of course with that, acne started to come. Like, I remember I was in year 4 when I started to get like little bumps. I don't think they were cystic by then, or, you know, pupules, I can't remember the difference, but it was just like little it's like the fungus ones. Is that what it's called?
No. So you started, I remember your skin got oilier because it would get shiny.
Yeah.
During the day. And then, you know, from that, then you had little bumps, which is like congestion.
Yeah.
Which is where the oil traps under the skin in the pores. Mm. And so you get these bumps under the skin.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened with me. So that was the time as well. Like, it started really slow. But it really broke out around when I was in year six. So that was when I was, I'm a December baby. Yeah. So I was 11 turning 12. So that would have been, again, because I turned 12. Yeah, I turned 12 in year six.
Mm.
So, or at the end of year six. So I would have been like 11. So basically 9 years. That's when it got really bad. And I remember looking back at photos and I just remember that I had really fuzzy hair because that, I don't know, do you remember my crimping hair phase?
Yeah, a little
like,
bit.
Yeah, like I would crimp it every night and but my face had gotten so oily. So my hair was oily as well. It was oily at the roots, fuzzy crimped at the bottom.
Mm.
And I had like all of this just cystic acne breaking out.
Mm.
And so I look back at photos, like my year six year photo was like, it haunts me to this day.
Oh.
And, you know, with love though, yeah. But I look at it, I go, ooh, like, you know, yeah. That was a rough time. Like everything, like all my hormones just like suddenly got all out of balance. And that was a time as well, we had that Japanese student, Chiyazaki, come and stay with us. So in those photos as well, that's what I see. And I remember she took a photo with us to say goodbye. And she had used one of the photo tools to edit my face and just to completely like blur out all of my acne.
You did?
No, she did.
Oh, she did? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So my face looks like a ghost because she took the acne out for me. Yeah. Like I know for her it was her trying to support me and, you know, don't want to embarrass me. Mm. But yeah, so that was the time when I really, really noticed a change was that year six. So what that would have been 2013. Yeah.
Yeah.
2014 maybe.
20.
One of them.
Yeah, 2014. It's when it kind of started and I remember you getting the odd pimples. To me, I wouldn't have called it acne, although technically today they even call bumps as the first stage of acne.
Yeah.
And then you have the little breakouts. And so in my mind, anything under 3 breakouts or under 5 breakouts is not really serious acne. Although... Mm. Listening to you and knowing you, what you went through, to you, that was a big deal. Having 2-3 pimples, it was like, I've got, you know,
a
face full of acne, you know.
Exactly.
So later down the track, I remember when it got a lot more serious, right? So this is that, I suppose when you look at, you know, a teenager goes through the puberty, hormonal changes, they have the oil flow, and then they start having those occasional breakouts, right?
Mm.
And I think a lot of people go through that, still like you as a kid, growing up and having, you know, already you have some insecurities as a teenager, you know, and then having those breakouts can really affect you. So it's interesting to hear for those people who, because there are some people who don't break out when they're young. So I think it's interesting for them to hear that, how they can affect that. So then later on.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that even wrapping up that kind of era for me, that I started to have these severe, they weren't severe yet, but I had lots of these breakouts. My breasts had started to grow. And I just remember a lot of my social aspects of that year, 2013 or 2014, there was just a lot of struggling because I was sitting outside of a classroom at lunch one time because my friends were doing drama club. I was already feeling very socially awkward and anxious, so I just sat outside. And some girls in my grade came and sat with me and they started talking about cup sizes and bra sizes. I had no freaking idea what cup size I was. I knew that was the time when we went bra shopping for the first time. But that was an experience I had where I was like, I don't know, but I just know they're hurting and I don't know what's happening. And then I had a time when I was in the bathroom and another girl was in there and she had one spot on her cheek and she was like complaining about it, which is totally valid. Like if you're used to having clear skin and you get a spot from now, like the age I am with the experience I have, I'm like, I totally get it. But back then I was so angry because I was like, how dare you get so upset over that one spot when I'm standing right next to you with like 10 on my face. So I had a lot of pent up like anxiety and anger. And so that was that first. So that year six was really hard for me. Mm. Then we rolled into year seven. It slowly started to get a bit worse. Mm. And I started having people who would line up in the line for school, for classrooms.
Mm.
And people would say, what's all those spots on your face? Why is your face all red?
Mm.
And then year eight came around. And that's, I think, the year when we really were like, something's wrong. And I think that's when you as a beauty therapist was also a bit like, huh, I think there's something like more to it than just like a teenage hormonal imbalance. Yeah. Because that's when we started investigating further. Mm. So I think year eight, that was the year when I was like, Mom, I don't want to get up to go to school.
Mm.
That's when I also went through my first depressive episode.
Mm.
And I honestly think acne had at least an aspect in it, because I was like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to look in the mirror. I don't look in the mirror and see myself. I don't love myself. And that was also kind of a part when you went, this isn't normal. Like, or not normal, but this isn't okay. Like, we need to work on this together.
Mm.
So
I remember the times when you were crying in the morning. So, Mum, I just don't want to go to school.
And there were times you let me stay home.
Yeah, because you were just not in a good space and to face the world, really. Like you say, a lot of it had, you know, how you felt about yourself.
Yeah.
But then there was the cruelty of at school of kids not understanding what you were going through and teasing you. And you were teased at school? I know you were because you told me, but yeah, tell our listeners.
Like, I have to say, it wasn't as severe as I've heard of other people's experiences. Mm. I'm very lucky in that. I think it was because my school was such a small grade.
Community.
I think when I was in year six, we had maybe 60 people in my grade. I think around that 60 mark. By the time I graduated year 12, we had like 35 people. So we were really small. So it was, and especially as we were getting older, we realized, you know, we're kind of stuck together. Like, there's no point in fighting. Mm. At least, like, especially my group of friends, we were very much like that.
Mm.
So I have to say that I'm very grateful in that I didn't experience a lot of teasing or bullying. It was just the occasional kid. Like I said, there was. I remember who it was. I remember what their face looked like.
Mm.
Remember the tone they said it in when they were talking about my acne while we were in the line going into the classroom. But it would be even things. Honestly, a lot of it was more of like backhanded. It was like they would tease me, but not straightforwardly.
Joking. Oh, it's only joking.
Yeah.
Type of comments, you know?
Kind of like stirrers. Yeah. Or they'd say something and they think it's like dark humor when I go, hey, that actually like hurts. And they go, you can't take a joke.
Yeah.
That was pretty much what it was. So it wasn't often, it wasn't super repetitive, but there were just the occasional people who would say something. And they go, oh my, I can't believe you don't have clear skin. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else here has clear skin. Like, why don't you?
Yeah.
What are you doing wrong? Do you not clean your face?
Yeah.
Like, that was it. Like, and I guess as well, it would come from the education. Like, they just don't understand because, again, it was such a small community. There was only, like, three people who had pretty severe acne.
Mm.
By the time we were in year 12, some more people had. But, again, it wasn't as cystic as me and two of my other friends. And we got really close. We bonded over it. And we bonded over the pain, the emotional pain, the social pain.
Mm.
So, yeah, I would say that would sum up my teasing experience.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, how in the beginning what you said, that a few people had acne, and then as you got older and went into year 11 and 12, more and more people got acne.
Yeah.
Because you would think that acne is a teen thing, not an adult thing. And that's exactly what you went through. You actually, unfortunately, went through both. You had the juvenile hormonal related, you know, when you go through puberty, acne, and then it transitioned into an adult acne as you, unfortunately, you got it a lot sooner than anybody else. But then others, you saw other friends at school who had the adult acne. Adult acne is one of the things that's more difficult to treat than the oil related acne.
Mm. I think it was still oil related because I have to say it was mainly the boys who got the acne, but later on.
Mm.
So, like, in the year 10 to 12, that's when I saw that they started, especially on their forehead.
Mm.
Like, a lot of them had it on their forehead. I actually, like, it's as selfish as it sounds. I'm like, ooh, I'm not alone anymore. You know, I'm like, oh, you have acne and you have acne. Join the club. Yeah. I'm like, wow, like we're not alone. But yeah, so it is interesting because that's it. Even now working where I work, I'm meeting so many people who only started getting adult acne and they go, I just don't understand. Like I never had to deal with that. Mm. And again, and although like I never say it, of course, but in my head, I'm like, wow. What would have my teenage years been like if I'd never had acne? Would I have gone through a different type of depression? Would I have gone through a different type of social anxiety? What would my self-love look like? There's so many different ways it could have gone. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even like imagine it, what my life could have been like if I didn't have acne. Of course, I know that no matter what you walk in life or where you walk in life, you'll have your struggles. But it feels like all of my struggles relate back to acne in some aspect, not as the root cause, but as like a common denominator, you know? So I'm like, if that wasn't there, like, oh my God, I feel like my life could have been so much brighter. But yeah.
But then again, it's like you said, it's a journey you go through, isn't it? Yeah. And you become a person as a result of the struggles that you go through.
For sure.
And I think because you went through the struggles you did, you now have that unique ability to relate to people who are going through the same struggles and help them out, because as it happens, you now work with skincare and beauty products in retail, so you can help people out. But let's go back to talking about acne, because there's I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of questions about acne, and some of these could relate to them or having them understanding what acne is about. So first of all, we were talking about when you first started breaking out, and then me and you know starting to take charge, one of the first things that we looked at is food, right? Because the reason we did is because when you first started getting oily and the bumps, I remember I switched your skincare routine. You were on a very basic skincare, you're like a cleansing and moisturizing up until that point, but then we switched it to more of a oil management skincare routine to help to manage that oil. I believe if we didn't do that, I think you would have had the outbreaks a lot sooner and things would have happened, progressed a lot quicker. So we managed to, in the beginning, manage to just maintain it just with the skincare. But then, like you said, as time went on, then you started to get those breakouts. So do you believe that what you eat affects your acne?
So my first answer to that, or I guess my main answer would be yes, diet can affect acne. But the key word is can, because the reality is when I actually cut out lactose and gluten and really lowered my sugar intake, I still had acne, but it severely declined. I don't know if that's how you say
severely.
It.
Dramatically.
It dramatically got better.
It did.
It just now, like my gut health had really balanced out and it was now really only the hormones, you know? So the food aspect and my internal microbiome was, is that the word microbiome? Microflora?
Microbiome. No, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure. that had really, like, I feel like that had gotten happier. It was now genuinely just my like teenage hormones and that, you know, that imbalance there. That was the only thing now creating acne. Yes. So it was now not as cystic. There was just like, again, the little bumps kind of going back to when I first started getting it, when I was like in year six.
So it gradually went backwards, but eventually even that cleared up.
Yeah.
When the clearing up started, it happened pretty quickly. Interesting, because we applied all different things. I just remember saying to you, right, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and we just got to really work on this, like seriously. You know, we'd get somewhere with the skincare or whatever, and then you would have ice cream and you'd have a big breakout. And I said, Olivia, remember, dairy, I think that's your trigger, sugar. Right? Sugar, dairy. So I remember there came up a point, and I think you were in year 10 then.
Was
it year 10 or year 9?
It was in 2018.
Yes.
So I would have been, year 10, because I graduated 2020.
Because I think that's where it reached a peak. That's when it got really bad. I think really everyone,
because we look back at the photos now.
Yes.
And we went, what the hell? Like we look back and we go, I didn't even remember it being and that bad.
January or it was like, mid-year it was when we really decided to do something. Although at the beginning of that year, I did take you to the doctor because we tried, first of all, because we've tried skincare, right? And that year, when it reached its peak and it started getting more severe, so we went, right, okay, this is beyond skincare, right? We need to get some medical intervention here.
Yeah, especially because I think it was around 2017 when we started cleaning up my diet as well.
Yes.
It wasn't just in 2018 when it got really bad. So I think it got really good and then it got really bad again. And that's when we were like, we need
Well, when you say cleaning up your diet, I don't think at that stage we did. I think what we were experimenting, we were trying to find your triggers, right? So we would eliminate gluten for a while, then we eliminate dairy for a while. You know, the common triggers for acne that we know about. But what we found with you was that you would have some improvement and then it would come back, and then we like couldn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Eventually we figured out what it was. Like 6 months or 8 months later, we figured out what it was, and I'll come back to that. But at that beginning of the year, you went to, we went to the doctor, right? Do you remember that?
I do remember. I remember we went to the doctor, and that was when I was put on the contraceptive pill.
Yes.
And I have to say, because we were going to, I was actually kind of begging you at that point to be put on Roaccutane or Accutane. Again, the close friends that I had that had acne, and out of the four friends that I had, five including me, three of them went on Roaccutane and their skin became like glass. And I was like, Mom, please, Dad, please let me do this, because I have these friends around me and it's cleared up. And not only that, but, you know, of course, because it dries out your skin, their hair wasn't as oily, and that was a big insecurity of mine. I had to get up an hour earlier because I had to wash my hair every morning because it was so oily. The biggest reason why we didn't go for it was because you said of the effects on the mental health, because I had already gone through my depressive episode. I'd already had all these mental health struggles. That's what you at least expressed to me was your biggest fear.
It was,
and that we had it also in the family. And you're like, I just don't think it's right for you. I don't want that in your body. And I think it will be more detrimental than good. So that's why I was never put on it. But and I have to say, I was really sad back then because I wanted a quick fix, or a what so quick fix. And because I was put on the pill, I didn't understand the repercussions of that either. The doctor didn't go through it with us, so I didn't understand that, like, you know, all the, again, the mental health aspects that the pill can bring, and, you know, how my body changes and how my menstrual cycle changes. So there was very much pros and cons to it, but that was the road we went down.
So he put you on the, so that was around the January, February mark of that year. I think that you were in year 10. He put you on the pill. I noticed within 2 months how you no longer had the very highs and lows at that time of the month when you were, when you were ovulating or when you had your period. Prior to that, you would go into a really depressive state, like you were crying, anxiety, tears. Whereas that, from my observation, it, that it leveled out your, that those mood swings that you had around that, you know, PMS time. But in regards to the skin, I think it was 6 months before you started seeing an improvement. But again, it wasn't just the pill. We started by then implementing other things. Now, with a doctor, you tried some topical antibiotic.
Both. He gave me antibiotic pills to take, and he also gave me topical treatments.
Topical treatments. And there was a couple you tried. There was, the first one was just a benzoyl peroxide type of treatment.
That was the first one. But that was, I think, in like 2017 or like 2016 even. Right. Like that was like early on, and I used that for like a year, and I think that was, again, it cleared up, not fully, it cleared up a bit, and then I just, it, my skin became resistant to it.
You went back and the doctor said, well, it's become resistant to benzoyl peroxide. Then you tried something that had a mixture of benzoyl peroxide and I think an antibiotic that was a topical treatment, and again, I think you, you only lasted on it about 3 months because we're not getting anywhere with it. And I just wonder whether, some of that, the antibiotics and so on, then went on to disrupt your guts.
Yes. Well, that's it. That's what I'm trying to express to people, is how it can disrupt. Because with the pills that I took, the antibiotics, I can't, it's like doxycycline.
So,
doxycycline. And that's what I was given. And I've been given it like 3 separate times.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, again, since I'm older and I've gotten more curious, I'm like, I want to know what I'm putting in my body. Mm. And that's when I think when I turned 19, I'd stopped taking birth control. Mm. I stopped taking the antibiotics because I wanted to reset my body and I wanted to be informed with what I'm taking. Mm. And yeah, and I realized that how dangerous it can actually be to take.
Mm.
Not dangerous as in, you know, like fatal, but that it was disrupting, again, my internal microbiome and my gut health because it was destroying good and bad bacteria. And that's why we weren't getting anywhere. And that's what I've tried to express to some people who I know who've tried taking it. And they go, I don't understand why it's not working. I don't understand why I feel so bad. I don't understand why I'm now having worse of food sensitivities. Like, there's so much that can come with it. If you're not informed and you don't know how to, I don't know if there's a proper way you can take it and avoid worsening other things. But in general, I'm like, I just don't really like the antibiotics.
No, well, you know, what comes down to through our journey, and it went on for several years, we tried so many different things. So, you know, we did the skincare, and then when things get serious, then we went down the medical route because, okay, now we need, you know, attention, a little bit, something a bit stronger.
Mm.
And it worked for a little while, and then it didn't, right? So we came to a point, I think, mid that year, when that's like I said, when I rolled up my sleeves and said, right, let's really get serious with this stuff, not just try this, try that, and experiment with this, experiment. Let's just put everything we've learned and let's just do it. And we did. So you went strictly, and we as a whole family went strictly off lactose.
Yeah.
Actually, we just switched to lactose-free milk, didn't we? We didn't actually lactose, but I said don't eat like cheese, don't eat ice cream, dairy, things like that. So you had a little bit of lactose-free milk, but that was it. Then we went gluten-free as a family.
And we found out that gluten-free crumbs are banger.
So, so much better.
They're so much crunchier. So
yeah. We now even still do gluten-free, even if you don't have to. I started to actually monitor you morning and night because I was thinking it just doesn't make sense using the skincare and you're not getting results. So we fine-tuned some things with the skincare routine as well.
Mm-hmm.
We experimented with a doctor's formula from overseas. Do you remember? Acne boot camp. Yep. And it had a series of products, but it was just only one that you continued using, wasn't it? Because all of them were severely drying out your skin.
Yeah,
And there was just that one topical.
I think I still use it for like 3 weeks or so, all of them. And then I continued to just use the one that I could use as a spot treatment.
Spot treatment.
Because like you can probably put the photos with the post of this, this episode, but we have the photos of how, even just in a day, how much it dried it out.
It was severely dry.
Because it was, I think, again, we had totally cut off the food triggers.
Yes.
I wasn't getting much more active acne. It was just that they wouldn't stop coming and like flaring and flourishing.
Mm.
And so when we like dried out the skin, it was like, you know, there's no buildup of sebum to create a breakout. It was so dry and it was very painful because it was painful having this cystic acne and trying to lay on my pillow at night. Like that hurt.
Mm.
And then it hurt to have it so dried out.
Yeah.
And even having moisturizer and serum and toner and all of that. And it just wasn't enough. Of course, like we finally got somewhere.
We finally found the formula.
We had to heal with jojoba oil.
That's right. We introduced jojoba oil at night, which interestingly because it's an oil. So I had to put it, but because it was pure, so very similar to sebum. So it doesn't clog the pores.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember bringing it in because I remember working with it when I was a young beauty therapist. Then I used to do electrolysis.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to recommend jojoba oil after electrolysis to prevent the scarring.
Mm-hmm.
So we were moving to the stage of now, okay, so you're using this topical treatment during the day,
mm-hmm.
but we need something nurturing and healing for the night, which is when we introduced the jojoba oil. And we stumbled across this perfect formula of having those hardcore products during the day and then the nurturing and healing at night. The reason we did that, because the oil, you couldn't wear that during the day.
Yeah,
it was really,
school.
It was like a mask, like an oil mask that you wore every night. But that really, really helped with the healing of the skin.
Yeah.
But at that point, we also started doing treatments too. So we're like, it wasn't just one thing. So we definitely focused on the diet. So low sugar, no gluten, no dairy. Mm-hmm. That was the main focus of the diet. And just, look, we always eat healthy at home. We mostly eat home-cooked meals. We rarely have takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always nutritious food.
It was, I have to say, like just pointing out that the biggest struggle with our family was portion sizing.
Yeah.
That was the only thing. Because, like, yes, we do eat very healthy, but it was like that we would overeat. So that was something I also had to control back then.
Mm.
Because if you have too much of...
So we weren't gluten-free, but if you've got too much carb, then that converts your glucose sugar in your body.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, that's probably
okay,
what I'm
getting
to. Yeah.
Yeah, people who are pre-diabetic or diabetic, they have to really monitor the sugar intake. But it's not just the free sugar you put in the tea.
Yeah.
It's the sugar that's in your tomatoes, in tomato sauce, in your
fruits.
Although the fruits is supposed to be good, but as a diabetic, you would have to monitor it. And then, of course, rice, pasta, bread, things like that. So they're very high in carbs.
Yeah.
So,
well, I've recently found out that because I was diagnosed and then undiagnosed with PCOS. So I'm kind of in this in-between. Apparently, I have early stage signs of it, but I have insulin resistance, which is kind of like pre-diabetic. So that's where I'm having to really watch that, because that not only influences the insulin resistance, it not only influences my too much testosterone as well.
Yep.
They said I have an overproduction of testosterone,
which explains the oily skin, oily hair.
Exactly. And so I have to watch that. So not only if I'm eating healthy, I have to actually still be more considerate about what healthy foods I'm eating. Like,
exactly.
It's never ending.
No, it is an education process.
Yeah.
You got to find what your triggers are, what works for you. And then just, like I said, roll up your sleeves and just be serious about it for a little while. And that's what we did. For 6 months, we went through a journey. So food was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you stopped taking all the topical prescribed medications for acne, but you were still taking contraceptive pill, Diane, which is supposed to be what they recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started the skin treatments too. So we started with LED because at that point your skin was still fairly fragile and raw from the inflamed adult acne. You couldn't really, I remember trying a peel and you go, oh, mom, that burns. So we couldn't even do a peel. So we started just with LED treatment. So we went to our beauty therapist, who was a local beauty therapist who looks after us. She had an LED machine and I think that's all we did. We just did LED sessions about two or three times a week.
Yeah, I think it was only 2 weeks.
Two times a week
when we started seeing really good results.
Really good. Like what it did was kickstart that healing process so the skin could actually recover. Because prior to that, where we were, you'd have a massive breakout and the skin was like suffering and it didn't have the strength to recover. And then it would have another breakout on top of it, another breakout before it healed from the previous breakout.
Yeah, it's if like you think about someone who's prone to cold sores and if your immune system's down, or like if you have a cold sore, or even I've had it before where I had a pimple near my lip. And then because it weakened that spot and because my immunity was so weak, then a cold sore would develop because that actual spot was weakened. Like it's crazy how that happens. But my skin was really weak. And it's interesting to see that happened, because I'm now meeting people again in the industry. And when they tell me, oh, my skin is so dry and it's so sensitive, and they don't have a skin routine, I'm like, oh, well, it seems like your skin barrier is probably depleted because you haven't been upkeeping a skin routine. So you need to build that back, build back that strength, because it's probably not that you have sensitive skin, it's just sensitized. But I had an upkept skincare routine, you know, and it was just because that this doctor's thing, even though like it was very like half, it dried out my skin so much that I became so sensitized.
Yes.
But it also was the kickstart into not healing, but into, like, I guess, reining in my acne.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you started LED. We did that for a few weeks, twice a week. And then as the cysts and infection cleared mm-hmm. up. So it stopped, your ongoing breakout stopped. Mm-hmm. We were left, and I'll share the photos, what the next stage was, which is just red. It looked like a red skin and it was inflamed, but it was all scarring.
Yeah.
Because everything was flat. Mm-hmm. So there were no new pimples and it was just flat. So at that point, we started doing microdermabrasion with LED treatments, and we started to see really good progressive, like week by week improvements, because we were at that point taking photos. One of the suggestions that the doctor where you got topical treatments from, he was talking about counting the lesions. I don't know if you remember, take a before photo and then count all your lesions. I remember on one side of the face we counted something like 50.
I was gonna say, I remember when we when we very first started, dude, it was so much. It's
50. And the reason he asked you to count them is that sometimes people with acne and the struggles they're going through, and as the skin starts improving, they don't always see that improvement because they want it gone, like completely gone straight away.
Yeah.
So he said, if you take progressive photos like once a week and you count, then you'll see a reduction, then you'll see progress, and that'll help you because then it'll, of course, if you're stressed and if you have anxiety, that affects your hormones, which can affect your acne. Mm. So that, I don't know if you remember how we were counting them.
I remember as well, one of the life-changing things that we heard from that doctor as well was about how popping your pimples can be good.
Mm.
I feel like everyone listening is like, you know, mic drop, like, you know, mouths agape.
Yeah.
He said that if you leave a pimple to fester and fester and fester, it actually, again, it weakens the spot and it eats away at your skin, so that's where a scar can occur. And he was all about helping prevent scarring.
Mm.
So he said that you can, you know, get some tissues, make sure it's totally hygienic, and just very softly squeeze. And he said, if it comes out, amazing. Let it come out, clean it up, and then, you know, follow with the procedures to, you know, help it heal and whatnot. But if it doesn't want to come out, you leave it. That's, I think, where people go wrong, is people force their pimples to pop and for like the pus to come out. Mm. And that's where bruising can occur. And, you know, I think under the skin, it can spread as well,
yes,
the bacteria. And so then that's where it will just keep coming back.
Mm.
So the way he taught us was a way where it's totally sanitary. You're doing it so it doesn't spread, and you're doing it so it doesn't leave scars.
Mm.
Which I remember for you were totally gobsmacked as a beautician.
I had to really step up outside of my comfort zone, because as a beauty therapist, I was trained never to squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
We as professionals actually in the salon did not squeeze people. We didn't do extractions as such. It was a philosophy dating back to my training, original training days. And they were saying it weakens your skin, it can scar your skin. And look, we all know you shouldn't do it at home because people do it the wrong way and they can actually spread the infection. It was very interesting stepping out of my comfort zone. But when he explained that if you've got that pustule, so a pustule is a pore that is filled with pus. Mm-hmm. And from the surface, you see these yellow-green pus, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those pimples that if you do squeeze, that it squirts out on the mirror, right? Yeah. Okay. So those juicy, ripe pimples, if you let that pus sit in that skin, it'll fester, like you said, and it'll eat away at the tissues, and the tissues surrounding that will die. And I go, I never, ever thought of it that way. We've always used topical treatment to treat that infection, but it can take days sometimes, right? I never thought of it. And it made sense that, look, if you gently squeeze it from, you know.
Massage it.
Well, he said, I think he said you need to warm your skin first and make sure it's damp and soften that pore. And then very, very gently from either side, go underneath that pimple very gently and kind of ease that pus out of the skin. If it comes out nice and easily, fantastic. And like you said, treat it.
And honestly,
it made sense to me. I said, well, that actually makes sense. And then we'd use antibacterial lotion afterwards, antibacterial cream to make sure, you know, totally makes sense.
And it made a big difference, actually.
It made a massive difference. Because we used to leave pustules. We used to topically treat them, but we never actually squeezed them. And I think that's when we started seeing progress too, I think, including
The healing process was so much faster.
Yeah.
But I have to, like, clarify there that there were a lot of really juicy ones that just would never pop.
No, no, that's matter right. They what were I so did, deep. They were too deep to come out.
And that, like, they were, if I popped, it wouldn't be like a small kind of incision. It would literally, it'd be where the infection spreads and it's this big hole.
Yeah.
So there were some that definitely, it just, it just wasn't.
If it wasn't ready, it wasn't ready. It didn't come out. And definitely never ever squeeze a blind pimple. So a blind pimple is where you can't see the pus, right? Yeah. All you see is this raised red sore lump on the surface of the skin. You can't see the pus is way deep inside. There's no way to squeeze that out. And people often do it. They rip the skin open, the blood comes out, and that's where the scarring again happens. You know, you can really seriously scar your skin doing that. I was going to mention it actually because I remember that there was, we're at a point where we're trying things.
Yeah.
So let's try it. If it works, it works. So I've actually, as a beauty therapist of 30 years, I've shifted my position on that.
Mm.
And it's okay because we're constantly learning. Mm. If we find something that works, go with it.
Right? And I feel like as well, in my opinion, this is also better directed towards adults with acne. I feel like when you're younger and your emotions are so high, especially around acne, that, and also that it is, like you said, it's very peculiar. You know, you had to massage it kind of going from both sides, but going under to kind of bring it to the top to push it out. And I feel like more so elder teenagers and adults are better equipped to understand and to have the patience and to understand when they need to leave it alone, when it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But as younger kids, like I can't imagine when I was like 13, if I was hearing this podcast on my own and I wanted to give it a try, I'd be worried that I would actually, you know, I could make it worse than I thought. So it is something I have to say that talk to your local beautician, speak to them or contact mum, contact Yana and see if you want to learn how you can go about it. Just get that opinion because I don't want you to hear this and go, oh my God, I can pop my pimples.
Yeah. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Exactly.
And look, my suggestion is really to address that really quickly. Just book in a deep cleansing facial with your local beauty therapist, right? So it's an express treatment. It takes about half an hour. They'll cleanse, they exfoliate. Then they'll do what's called a deep cleanse, which is where they do the extractions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you can ask, and can you teach me how to do this at home as well? Right? And they'll show you the right way to do it. Therapists don't like you doing it at home because it often goes wrong.
Mm.
Talk to a beauty therapist you can trust and that's willing to teach you and have a professional show you how to do it, really.
Yeah.
And they'll show you which ones you can and which ones you shouldn't touch. Mm. And then which ones you should be coming in to see them because they may have even tools to help them extract some of the deeper ones too. Mm. So now, the next thing I want to talk about is, so we talked about the food aspect, right? So we both agreed that we've both definitely seen that food can be a trigger. Mm-hmm. But do you think stress is a trigger?
I have to say again, yes.
Yeah.
I think it definitely is.
Mm.
I definitely noticed, depending on my mental health state, along the years I've had acne, that it fluctuates with my stress. But saying that, it usually is a bit delayed by a business day or two. You know, it's like when I feel the stress, it's not like a pimple comes out right that second.
Mm.
It's like the next days. It's like it's delayed a bit, comes after. And even by the time, you know, maybe a week later, I'm feeling much better mentally.
Yeah.
That's where my acne's catching up. Yes. And I'm like, damn it. Like, I'm feeling good. I want to actually leave the house now. I want to go hang out with my friends. But my acne is making me want to stay home. But yes, I do definitely say I noticed it a lot again in my high school years when it had cleared up quite a lot. Because when I think about stress, I think about like a busy schedule, pressure. When I think about how my stress was, again, I have to say it was very... Like I've been saying this whole episode, it was very mental health related because by the time I was in year 12, I was really busy, really stressed, but I was also like that pressure. But I saw it get even worse when I was in uni and I moved out of home temporarily.
Mm.
And so now it was like that financial stress. Now it was that anxiety of being out. It was now trying to work all these jobs. You know, it was this stress of trying to keep on top of uni work. It was a lot more anxiety related than stress, I think. Now that I'm talking about, I think that's what it is. It's more to me, anxiety.
Yes.
Than stress. Does that? But I feel like it can be linked. I don't know. I don't know.
I saw from a mum's perspective, both these two types of stresses. There's the stress that's on your mind, you know, so you feel the pressures of life. You're thinking about like about your exams. You're thinking about, am I going to make enough money to, you know, pay the bills? And then there's the stresses on your body.
Yeah.
So that's the lack of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You're not relaxing, you're not exercising because mm-hmm. you're too busy doing other things. Mm-hmm. So then there is the stress on the body itself, right? Mm-hmm. And I've definitely seen both of them. So when you were doing your HSC, you were not sleeping enough. Mm-hmm. I saw that stress on your body.
Mm-hmm.
When you were stressing out about friends or whatever, you know, I saw that mental stress affecting you as well. So I think there is different types of stress. And like you said, anxiety, I think, trigger hormones in the body that can definitely affect the skin microbiome itself. Yeah. The skin should become more inflamed. And then when you've got inflammation, then you can have a breakout.
Mm. So I think that's what it is. I think that's what makes more sense. Because I was trying to define, like, what is stress?
Yes.
And I think that's it. I think that worse from the internal stress, so that all of that anxiety, that overthinking, that there's an impact from not sleeping right or not eating right or not exercising. I do agree, but I think that impact, the external stresses, are a bit better. Especially my sleep. I think my sleep's been really good. There's only really small periods of times where my sleep goes into a bit of a whack state and I need to take some sleeping pills. So I'm usually really fine. In year 12, I was still pretty like active, you know, walk here, walk there, do a little bit of exercise. The first year out of school, I also had that gym membership with you and we would do all of that. Again, it was that year that I moved out of home where that really impacted it as well because I no longer had the time to go to the gym. I wasn't really walking around that much. That time, my sleep was fine, but I was drinking a lot of alcohol. I wasn't eating the best, even though I'd cook a lot at home and I'd have veggies and fruit. There were also days where I'd have takeout, or the main thing though was definitely the alcohol. Or like I'd have the same meals over and over again. So I wasn't getting that exposure to all my nutritions and stuff.
Yeah.
So again, that definitely is. But I think that the constant thing and why I still have acne to this day would be more applied to the internal stresses. Because that's just, that's what I struggle the most to work with and to handle, to manage. So yeah.
I think we should do another episode, maybe for your Heavenly Feminine podcast on stress management and your ways that you found. I think that would be a useful topic.
I should find a psychologist or something to bring on.
Yeah, about,
so I can learn
tools and resources you would reach out, what you've learned over the years to help you get through those really tough periods. And you don't always do. Sometimes it's just a matter of just going and getting a really good night's sleep. But there's certainly tools and resources that people can reach and find. And look, if you're in a position like that where you find that life is really hard and it's a trigger for you, do reach out to Lifeline. We'll include those notes in the show notes as well. Reach out and talk to somebody. If you're under 21, reach out to Headspace. You can get access to that.
I think it's 25.
25, is it? Yeah. It's under 25.
Because that's where I went for the first couple of years. I think 2016. 17 to 20, and
that was so good.
I cannot tell you how much it helped.
That really helped because number one, it helped to diffuse anxiety, and then they taught you how to manage it when you don't have anybody to talk to when you're not there. So definitely go and see your doctor, get a mental health care plan, reach out to Headspace, and if you can't right now, you need to talk to somebody, just pick up the phone and call Lifeline. So we talked about stress, and that I believe that definitely I see it in my clients all the time. Stress is a big factor, and I think that's another thing we can talk on another podcast, is a lot of people don't realize they're stressed. They don't really understand what stress really is and how it can impact on the body. So we'll talk about that.
True.
Now, I have another question here, and I think this is another tool that we use to help you really get back out and face the world, is makeup. There is a lot of misconceptions about makeup, and it could be true in the early days when it was fairly poorly formulated, right? Yeah. But do you believe that makeup causes acne?
That's a good question. I have to say, I think off the bat, no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that makeup is a cause for acne. I think there could be ingredients that could maybe sensitize someone or be like, what's a trigger?
Yeah.
I think that not properly washing it off mm-hmm. can be a trigger. So it's those type of things. I don't think it's the makeup itself.
Mm.
I think it's the little things about it. So the cleansing process, again, the ingredients, the way you apply it, the dirty brushes,
mm-hmm.
dirty sponges,
mm-hmm.
those are the things that cause acne
right.
or can cause acne.
Yes. Because yeah. you've really started wearing makeup quite early. I remember when I was 16, I think I tried on eyeliner. That's about it. I wasn't really wearing makeup until I became a beauty therapist. So we taught that we had to wear a light makeup. So I was 19
yeah.
when I started wearing makeup on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But you started earlier because it just gave you a little bit more
confidence. Because I think, again, I mentioned it in the other episode we did,
mm-hmm.
but for those who haven't listened yet, I had first started really delving into makeup when I went on a trip to China. And so it was a school trip. So I was with just a couple of my classmates because you have to sign up for it. The girls there, they really liked makeup. And we were at like the little markets and some of them were buying like eyeshadow palettes and this and that.
Mm.
So I was like, oh my God, like teach me. So I just bought a palette that they bought. I bought a BB cream that they bought. Like, you know, I was just getting what they got because I had no idea.
Mm.
But that's basically what I started out with. I got the eyeshadow palette to do a little bit of eyeshadow.
Mm.
You got me a mascara. I got a BB cream and that was it. That's all I used. A BB cream, mascara and eyeshadow.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing around. And I remember when I came to school, and especially the girls who I bonded with in China, they were like, oh my God, like, it looks really good. Like, you know, it's not red. Like, your skin's all one color. Like, it looks really nice.
Yeah.
And especially, because that was...
Was it year 10? You went?
I went to China in 2017. Because 2018, I was in year 10. I went in year 9.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I still had really textured cystic acne.
Yes.
So again, I look back and there were dry patches because, you know how like some BB creams, they can dry over your, you know, your cyst or whatever, or your scar.
Yeah.
So there were dry patches. There were patches I didn't blend it properly, but I was so excited.
Yes.
And because I looked in the mirror and there wasn't all this redness.
Yes.
And because I remember there was a time where I wouldn't even wear red t-shirts or a red dress or anything because I was like, if I wear red or pink, like it brings out the acne in my face. And there was a point, I don't know if you remember, I tried to dye my hair brown because I was scared that I have a bit of red, I have gold in my hair that I thought that also brought out the acne.
Right.
So that's why I tried to dye it brown.
Yeah,
yeah, that's when I started going into makeup.
Mm.
And then by the time I got to year 12, I had a proper foundation you bought me from Mecca because I'd gotten one for when I did work experience.
Yes.
Yeah. I started to learn how to tweeze my eyebrows so I can just clean them up a bit.
Yeah.
I learned how to put, like, you know, what mascara is. And yeah, I started to explore myself more with makeup, find confidence, find an escape with it.
Yeah.
But it did get to a point where I really hid behind it. There were days where I was like, I can't go to school without doing my makeup. So I became very dependent on it. And then I overcame that eventually. And so then there were days I was only just putting on eyebrows to go to school. And I was like, I cannot go to school without my eyebrows.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing I needed to do. So it definitely ebbed and flowed.
Yes.
And now I'm at a point where I will go to work at Mecca, where I now work.
Yeah.
And I won't have a base on.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want to that day. And I now feel okay that, yes, I can show my acne scars. Yeah. And sometimes all my active acne. And I'm kind of proud because I feel like I make some customers more comfortable. They'll come to me because they see I have acne.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, like, I can relate to you. Can you help me? So, yeah, so I'm a bit more at peace with it and I'm a bit more proud. Of course, I want my glass skin so bad.
Speaking of glass skin, I'm looking at you right now and your skin is glowing.
Really?
It looks smooth. It's dewy. Ah! It's glowing. It's looking really beautiful today, darling.
Thank you.
Really pretty. Yeah,
I feel like now that you talked about the counting the spots again, because yes. I forgot about that.
Mm.
That's kind of making me humble myself because I've been really stressing over my acne again lately.
Mm.
And it has been bad. Like just last week, again, I was struggling to sleep on my pillow. Yeah. I had to swap sides with my boyfriend. But it's
cleared up quicker. Now, if you have a break, it clears up quickly. Like I'll see you one day, you've got, you know, 4 or 5 big cystic sort of lesions on the jawline.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week later, they're gone. It's not like before that it just lasted and lasted and lasted, you know.
Yeah, and but I feel like you've got
the right tools now, don't you?
I have the right tools. I also understand more when I slip up, you know, because after that whole era of completely cleaning my gut, by the time I got to year 12 and I was stress eating for the HSC, I really let myself go.
Mm.
I started just eating and eating. And then I met Ethan, you know, my new boyfriend, my first boyfriend. So we went out and ate all the time. So I finally went, you know, instead of feeling like I was restrained with food, as well as because there were times where I went through a bit of like bulimia. Is that the word bulimia? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, where I would purge when I ate because I felt so guilty. And I went through a lot of work at therapy with that because, you know, she was trying to teach me that food's okay. And so I flip-flopped. I went to the extreme where I isolated from everything with food to where now I was like, screw it. I can eat anything and I won't feel bad. So I now no longer had that guilt. But then I overindulged and I put on lots of weight. My acne came back. And now I'm at the point where I need to reheal my my gut and my skin microbiome and everything. Yeah. So I've experienced the extremes and now I'm at the point where I'm learning how to find a balance. And when I go, I was a bit naughty last week, I'm going to go on a bit of a cleanse and my skin can heal up better.
Do you journal? As in keeping a track of foods and stress levels and period cycles and things like that to find what your triggers are?
No, I should. I used to journal a lot more. I remember I used to show you and they were very much, I'd track my mood each day.
Yep.
I'd track how much water I drank each day. I wouldn't track food because again, I think back then I was, because I had such a strained relationship with food, I couldn't even face it. Otherwise I'd judge myself too harshly and things could escalate. But it was definitely more mental health surrounded, like the emotions and stuff and being able to validate my emotions of the day and realize how can I, you know, if I had a good day, awesome, let's like journal about it. If I had a bad day, awesome, let's journal about it and see how we can make myself better. Should I do a skin face mask? Should I put some candles on? But ever since midway through 2022, again, I would say that this year has been the hardest for me. Midway through 2022, I stopped altogether. I just didn't have the strength to journal. I still kept up with my period tracks and on there, on the app, you know, Flow, I can put on my symptoms and stuff. So that's it. But that's the only thing I upkept. And in the year of 2023, I'm really working on, you know, fixing that up. That's my goal.
Okay. Yeah, I think one of the things we as beauty therapists, we ask our clients who struggle with acne to do is, you know, get your skincare right, get your basics right and look after your skin and the treatments will help with the healing process. But also watch, you know, how, if there is any triggers in your foods. So keep a diary and see what you're eating. And sometimes they'll bring back the diary and they tell us that, that you know, they eat really healthy and then they come back and they go, well.
Well, yes. Have you, know? You ever watched... I can't remember what show it is, but it's one of those millions of dieting shows. And they would literally, I don't know if it's real or not, but they would stalk the person. There's this person going, I can't lose weight. I don't know why I can't lose weight. I eat healthy.
Yeah.
And then they would stalk them around for a week before they meant to come on the show officially.
Yes.
And they would watch them as they drove to work. Right. Do you remember that? Yeah.
And they keep a track of everything they're eating.
And they would drive to work. They'd go get like a Macca's burger for breakfast. They'd have like a big of like sugary coffee or, you know, on their lunch break, they go and get some snacks and they get some chocolates or some, you know, some fries, whatever it is. Like there was just this thing. And then by the time they were officially on the show, they confronted them with what they ate and they went, you know, like loss of words being like, oh my God, like I honestly didn't think I ate that bad.
And I think the journey makes you step back and look,
Yeah,
because I've done journaling myself and exactly for that reason. I go, you know, I don't eat that much.
Yeah.
But yeah. when you actually start writing everything down, it adds up during the day and then during the week as well. So, but in regards to acne triggers, I think that's a very useful tool to see if there's anything, because it's not the same for, like you said, right at the beginning of this podcast, there isn't a trigger the same for every. And that's, I think, where everybody's struggling in regards to dealing with acne, is that, you know, they're trying to pinpoint the one thing that's true for everybody, but it's not.
Yeah.
We are so different. Our microbiomes are different, as individual as our fingerprints, right?
Yeah.
So we react differently to the environment on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. So everybody will have a different trigger, whether it's for acne, whether it's for stress, whether it's for, you know, how you manage your lifestyle. So I think keeping a diary is very useful to help you pin down the things that, you know, could be your triggers.
I agree.
All right. So just to finish off, there is one question I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've shared a lot with us. Thank you. Just to close it all up, I'd like to know, how do you think that going through acne has affected you?
Mm, just as a person?
As a person and going forward.
Mm. The first thought that came to my mind was empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's definitely humbled me. It's grounded me. It made me, as a teenager, as a young person, then a teenager, then an adult, learn how important it is to be keeping in check with yourself.
Mm.
You know, understanding, like you said, like looking at what triggers you. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways.
Mm.
So learning that, how important it is to just keep checking in with myself, talking to myself, being a friend of myself, being patient with myself, being kind to myself. That's one of the biggest things. Empathy. It's made me empathize with people, no matter if it's a skin concern or disorder that they're going through. But I can look at someone and I've learned how to have a filter, because unfortunately there's still a lot of people, especially I'm assuming people who haven't gone through this, who will just say things about people that they can't control. Because I remember that was something someone once said, was if someone can't change something within 5 seconds of you bringing it up, don't bring it up at all. So, you know, if their hair's out of place, you can say something. If they have something in their teeth, you can say something. But your eyebrows look really dark today, you know? Okay, and like, I can't do anything, like, you know, like, there's not, why was the point? Oh, you have really like cystic acne, like it's really angry. Like, are you cleaning your face? Are you eating right? Don't bring it up. Like, so there's things like that where if they can't change it in 5 seconds, just don't bring it up. And because I feel like it's just a silent learnt tool from people who've experienced something like acne. Yeah, and it's kind of like a silent bond as well. Like, I understand what you're going through, and not giving unsolicited advice either. Because there's, again, some people who will just come up to me for no reason. Like, we've never talked before, or, you know, there hasn't been a ground. I'm not asking for advice, and they'll come up and be like, there's this really good pill I took, or like my cousin's brother's dog took to help with its acne, you know? And it's like, okay, like, thank you. I get it's good intent.
Yeah.
But there's things like that, you know. So that's what I think acne's taught me. It's taught me how to be in tune with myself and how to be kinder to myself. And it's also taught me how to be kinder to other people and to not assume the worst, not assume that they're not looking after themselves, and understand that a lot of the time things happen to our body. And although there might be a cause that we can work on helping figuring it out, there's sometimes where, no matter how much effort you put in, you can't control it that much. And I think that's how it's really changed me.
You've gone through this journey where, you know, you went through your struggles and not knowing what to do and looking for help, and then eventually found that that help comes from within you.
Yeah.
Knowing yourself and loving yourself, being kind to yourself and being gentle to yourself is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
It helps you then move forward.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today. Lots of learning there, and I'm going to take some notes and put them in the show notes for some key points we talked about. But I would love to invite you back next month as my guest speaker, if you're okay, to talk about something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about some of the really interesting, crazy and strange questions that you come across in retail, right? You remember we talked about that? When you're selling beauty and skincare. There you go. There's the title for the next episode.
Awesome.
I think that will be great. I think it'll be something lighthearted, mm-hmm. but also something that people can learn some great tips from too in regards to skincare and makeup. Mm. Yeah, educational, fun and lighthearted. Because today was a big one. Today was a big one. So we'll do something fun next time. Thank you so much again.
No worries.
And
thank
I'll
you
see
for
you next
me.
Month. You're
see
welcome.
See you next month.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I want to thank Olivia for being vulnerable and sharing her experience with you. I hope this podcast episode will help some of you who feel trapped with a condition and know that you are not alone. To learn how to care for your skin, visit my website, janaelston.com, to download your free essential skincare guide. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast or follow me on Instagram at janaelston to be notified when a new episode is released. To listen to Olivia's podcast, search for Heavenly Feminine Podcast on your favorite podcast player. Or follow Olivia on Instagram at Heavenly Feminine Official for the latest updates. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and tune in each week for the latest beauty news and trends. If you have any comments or questions, you can connect with me on my Facebook group, Skincare Teacher Beauty Tips. You will find a link in my show notes. Until next time, have a beautiful week.